Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning. It's very beautiful and crisp and cool outside and sunny as well. We're here at the radio studio of the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I'm feeling pretty good because we're going to be talking again about money this week, a subject that everyone loves, specifically the booklet Solve Your Money Troubles. You can find this at thetrumpet.com. Mr. Robert Morley, who is currently a Philadelphia Church of God minister serving in the Northeast, or the Northwest United States, wrote this booklet. He was once the resident financial expert writing for thetrumpet.com and for the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine. And he really does lay out a lot of extremely helpful, practical knowledge about finances in this booklet. Again, this is Solve Your Money Troubles. You can go ahead and even look at that right now at thetrumpet.com. The first part of this booklet is talking about how to become a valuable employee. Obviously, we're talking about money management. How do we accrue money? Well, it should come from working. That's what this booklet clearly points out, especially in the first chapter. We should not be freeloading or expecting the government or other people to support us. If we are able-bodied, if we are of age, we should be trying to provide our own income, especially the fathers, the husbands, the heads of their families, for the rest of their families. The two main points here: when we work, we should work really hard and also really smart. These are principles that are found throughout the Bible, and really the Bible is what sets this teaching apart. You can find so many different financial resources out there, but none of them are going to tell you God's perspective on the subject. John 10, verse 10 says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." 3 John 2 says, "I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health." So right here, we can see that God doesn't expect us to be in rags, in sackcloth and ashes, living on a street corner. He wants us to live abundant lives. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy and happy. And to do that, we have to work hard. Even if we received a pretty good income from just a handout, it's not going to be as satisfying as if we had worked hard and earned it. Obviously, there are other principles involved here. We have to make sure that we're keeping the Sabbath day. For those of you who maybe are not too familiar with this radio station or with some of our programs here, this is a station affiliated with the Philadelphia Church of God, and a big doctrine of the church is keeping the Sabbath day. What this means is you work hard 6 days of the week, and then on the weekly Sabbath, which is Saturday, you rest. If we are working constantly 7 days a week, really hard and really smart, it's still not going to reap the benefits that we want because we're not keeping the Sabbath like God commands. That extra day of rest actually does help us recharge and prepare us for the upcoming week. So if we're keeping the Sabbath, if we're working hard and smart on the other 6 days, if we are, like I talked about last week, putting aside 10% of our income for tithing, like God commands, that's a really great start. When I talk about working smart, what I mean is basically learning skills, finding out ways to help your company wherever you might be employed, taking extra classes if you have to learn certain skills for work. For those of you who are younger and still in school, make sure you pay attention now. It's going to be a whole lot harder to come up with a solid career in the future if you're not learning right now as well. So just remember all of that. You have to work hard and work smart. You have to keep the Sabbath day every Saturday by not working. And this is a really good start to financial success. Again, 10% of the income is paid to God. And that, like we said last week, that's talking about before taxes are taken out, you're tithing on the gross amount and not the net amount. The second chapter here in this booklet, Solve Your Money Troubles, is talking about how to save money. The necessities, obviously, we know this, are housing, food, and clothing. Once we make sure we budget for these things, obviously we have a lot of other things to think about, like cars, car payments, gas and oil for our cars, maintenance for our cars. Life insurance is an important thing. And really, all the specifics are in here for you. I'm not going to tell you all of it in this short program. What about savings? If our budget is so spread thin that we never have a chance to save, well, aren't we just one emergency away from disaster? If we have no money in the bank in case a pipe bursts in our home, or if we get a flat tire or something like that, well, that's a pretty stressful situation that would pretty much force us into debt. There are two types of savings, like Mr. Morley points out in this booklet. The first one is operational savings. That can include special expenses like maternity bills, major furnishings, maybe putting shingles on your roof, preparing for winter. And these are the types of savings for things that are not necessarily budgeted out of each paycheck. So from time to time, you can save up money for these, for operational savings. Then you also have emergency savings. And that, like I said, there are going to be times where maybe a disaster is going to occur and we have to respond to that accordingly. This is something that we should save up for more frequently, approximately 5% of net earnings each pay period. The first goal is to get $1,000 in your emergency fund. If you've ever listened to Dave Ramsey, he is adamant about how important this is. He basically says, don't spend another dollar on entertainment. Don't worry about paying off extra money on your debts until you have that emergency fund in place. Pay the minimum on your debts and then get that $1,000 in the bank. After that, you can start making more progress on paying debts off. You can then take more family vacations or whatever you want to do. But you have to have that $1,000 in an emergency fund as soon as possible. Once you get that $1,000 in your emergency fund, you want to continue to accumulate the 6 months worth of emergency savings. So the equivalent of how much money you would earn in 6 months. Again, that's 5% of your net earnings each paycheck. You want to try to save up until you have that 6 months in your emergency savings. Then when an emergency comes up, you don't have to be in a panic. You don't have to be fearful of how you're going to provide for your family, how you're going to pay off this emergency that came up. Once you dig into that emergency fund or into that emergency savings account to pay something off, obviously you want to build it back up to that 6 months worth again as soon as possible. Budgeting is a big part here. This is something that my mother always told me about when I was a teenager, and it just seemed like the most boring subject back at that time. Over the years, especially more recently, I've really learned how to nail down a budget, and it is actually exciting, like my mom tried to convince me of all those years ago. I do wish I had been a bit more diligent with that when I was younger. When you budget, it does give you a lot of peace of mind. Probably a lot of you listening know that from experience. If you have a certain amount of money allotted for certain things, you don't have to worry about how you're going to pay things off. You're not trying to keep track of it all in your head. You probably have it all written out right in front of you. Basically, you're spending every dollar on paper before you literally spend it in real life. That even helps in terms of entertainment budgets. If you have a certain amount of money set aside for fun activities, you don't have to worry about maybe overspending or your bills taking up all of your money, because you know you have a certain amount set aside for maybe a little bit of a diversion, a relaxing activity as well. Again, there are so many practical points in here. I couldn't possibly give them to you all right now, but hopefully you will be stirred to go and look at this booklet on thetrumpet.com. It's How to Save Money, or excuse me, Solve Your Money Troubles. We're talking about how to save money right now. This is one of these booklets that would probably be especially important to actually order a physical copy of, because there are a lot of charts in here that are a little bit harder to see if you're just reading it online. If you download it, it will help too. There's a lot of great charts and graphs that show you specifically how to budget, how much of your budget should go toward each expense. Just extremely helpful. Chapter 3 of this booklet, Solve Your Money Troubles, is about fleeing the credit trap. There are some pretty sad stories in this chapter about people who earn quite a bit of money, up close to $100,000 or even several hundred thousand dollars, and yet they're still having a hard time paying for their expenses. The principle here, of course, is that it's part of our human nature to try to compare ourselves to other people. If our neighbors have a really nice vehicle, it can be tempting to try to get a similar one. Same goes for a house or a vacation or whatever it might be. We might want to fit in by purchasing things that we just can't afford at that time. It says here on page 16 of the booklet, overextending a normally adequate income for luxuries and personal indulgence is a leading cause of money problems. As Mr. Morley points out, it's not that we don't have enough money. Usually, our financial problems are not caused by low wages. You see that in the news all the time. Different employees and unions, or just banding together themselves, are trying to protest for higher wages. But usually that's not the issue. Usually poor financial management is the cause of our money troubles. Trying to live beyond our means, trying to purchase luxuries that should be out of the question for us at that time. God knew that coveting would be such a big problem, Mr. Morley writes, that he devoted one of the big Ten Commandments to this credit-enabled, I want it now spending mentality. The Tenth Commandment's talking about you shall not covet. As Mr. Morley talks about later in the booklet, that doesn't just mean resisting coveting other people's items. It also means being actively thankful for what you do have. It's one thing to, you know, remove those negative thoughts about how we wish we could have all the physical things that others have. Maybe you see a celebrity that has 9 mansions. Well, so what if we're not actively wishing we had 9 mansions? Are we also being thankful for what we do have? That's also part of that 10th commandment. This is a really important chapter. I'm just going to read one of these more lengthy examples here because it just points out how easy it is to get into debt, how enticing debt can seem, and yet it's never going to pay off the way you think it will. This is pages 17 and 18 of the Solve Your Money Troubles booklet. Meet John. John was doing all right financially. He usually had a few dollars left over at the end of the month, so he rented a nicer house. His friends had nice homes, and he felt he deserved one, too. Soon afterward, the family car needed major repairs. A salesman persuaded him to try out a newer model. Its luxurious feel and the offer of a low interest rate sold him at once. John reasoned that the amount he would have had to spend to fix the old car was enough for the down payment. John's family began to feel pinched financially, but they just had to have some rugs and leather furniture for that nicer house. A dealer cheerfully told John these needed items could be paid for by the month, so he bought them without hesitation. Since nothing was said about interest or finance charges, he assumed the installment privilege was simply a courtesy of the dealer. Months later, John finally read the contract he had signed, only to discover that he was being charged an annual interest rate of 33%. To keep up the installments, he started putting everyday expenses on his credit card, thus paying more interest on money to pay interest. Finding the minimum payments increasingly difficult to repay, he transferred his balance to a new credit card, all the while racking up more credit card debt. Soon, all his credit cards were maxed out, and then, facing an unexpected expense for dental work for his children, John missed a payment. All of a sudden, he was hit with late payment penalties and a 15% interest rate hike on all his credit cards. The credit trap had slammed shut. In just a few months, John was hopelessly caught in a tangle of debt, and the debt collectors were on their way. This happens to people every year, but it is clearly avoidable. As you can see there, John made a couple of big purchases without thinking about it, and he definitely ended up suffering because of that. It's extremely important, even when we do borrow, the rare times that it's necessary, to think about it a lot, to pray about it, to ask for counsel. These are the types of decisions that could affect us for a couple of decades if we're not careful. Not too long ago, my wife and I took a trip, and we received such a good deal on the trip because we had to sit through this timeshare presentation. So we had these really skilled salesmen telling us how, you know, if you just put a little bit of money aside every month, you'll have a hotel of your choice guaranteed for any of your vacations. And they're just trying to convince us to basically put at minimum about $200 a month aside for this timeshare option that they were trying to sell. And for several hours, they were trying to get us to agree to that. Thankfully, I didn't agree to it because I simply didn't have that kind of money anyway. But it's really easy to just get into something like that hastily and think, well, maybe it does have some kind of value. But those monthly payments are really tough. Even a lot of car payments can be quite burdensome, several hundred dollars a month in some cases. And it is worth considering, maybe I should just get a used car, pay in cash, and not worry about getting a new one. It isn't always wrong to borrow, but there are times when maybe we could just rent or buy used. And that would save us from making some disastrous mistakes. Mr. Morley even recommends getting rid of credit cards if we can't resist using them unwisely. He says here on page 19, if you are already in debt, then strive to get out as soon as possible. Credit cards aren't going to help with that. Paying it back. This is a subhead on page 19. It can be easy to think that, well, maybe I can just go without paying back all these debts because it's going to be extremely difficult anyway. Psalm 37, verse 21 actually says, if you are borrowing and not paying it back, you're wicked. It says you're wicked. That's quite the condemnation. So clearly it's not acceptable to just borrow all we can because it seems easy, especially if we're not planning on paying it back. Chapter 4 here in the Solve Your Money Troubles booklet is about getting out of debt. And there are some really helpful points here about cutting out every possible expense that you can. There are ways to move into a cheaper home for hundreds of dollars less rent, or getting rid of certain unnecessary vehicles. There is a point here, though, that you shouldn't skimp on your health. You shouldn't just cut your food bill to the point where you're just buying all kinds of unhealthy things. That's going to cost you in the long run in terms of hospital visits and things like that. There are a lot of ways to be entertained without spending top dollar. You know, going to the movies can become games at home and family conversation. Going to a professional sporting event can become just going to a high school event that oftentimes is free. A family dinner at a restaurant can become a family picnic. This is a booklet that I try to read probably a couple times a year because it can be easy to think, well, you know, the finances are a little bit tough right now. They're a little bit tight, and I'm not going to really be able to enjoy myself because I can't spend money too much in the next week or two. That's not very enjoyable. But there are so many practical things here that show you can have a great time with your family, and in a lot of cases, it doesn't have to cost you any money at all. Just being with your family, being with your friends, enjoying some more creative activities can save you a lot of money, and in a lot of cases, they can be even more fun than some of these more expensive events. It says here to get drastic, but don't get stupid. Make sure that when paying off debts, you don't try to get into any sort of get-rich-quick schemes that will hopefully give you all the money that you need to pay off debts. It is really important to just carefully consider every decision. Page 24, Mr. Morley is quoting Dave Ramsey here. He says, "Are you willing to get another job and work a few 80-hour weeks? If you are in financial stress because of something you've done, you need to get yourself out of the mess by working. If you think that it is too hard, you will never get out of the debt that you brought upon yourself. Laziness will get you absolutely nowhere in life. We all make mistakes, but the question is whether you are willing to take responsibility for your mistakes. You need to learn from your mistakes, or you and your children will be doomed to repeat the cycle." And then the main question that he says you need to ask yourself is, how badly do you want to be out of debt? Mr. Morley writes here, "Remember, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be able to live the debt-free way of life and experience the blessings that come as a result of obeying his financial laws. So keep working, get creative in finding ways to save money, and persevere through the drastic action and emergency cuts you have decided to take." We all make mistakes. We've all probably made purchases that we regret. And instead of whining about it, instead of trying to resist paying back what we owe, we should just go on the attack. We hear different commercials all the time on TV about owing money to the IRS through unpaid taxes. And rather than paying back the taxes that we should have paid in the first place, people think the solution is just to hire an attorney to fight those payments. Well, that's not necessarily the right course of action. There are a lot of other helpful tips here about investing for the future, preparing your estate, and then just some tips at the very end about rules for life that will make you happy. It's not all about money. Money should be placed in the context of putting God first. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says to put first the kingdom. And then once you do that, all the blessings will be poured out upon you. It's a really helpful booklet. You can basically see that if you work hard, save money, get out of debt, at that point you can start preparing to give a better life to your family that comes after you. And you can just live a real long life of happiness. You can find joy even in tough times. You won't have the dark cloud of financial stress hanging over your head. The blessings will abound if you just obey some of these practical principles that do match up with your Bible. So this booklet is Solve Your Money Troubles. You can find it at thetrumpet.com. I definitely highly recommend getting into this. I've read it probably 5 or 6 times and can't get enough of it. Just reading it regularly, applying what it says, and watching the financial peace of mind just fill my life. So please go ahead and download that at thetrumpet.com or order a physical copy or read it there. Again, that's Solve Your Money Troubles. Next week, I don't even know what we'll be covering yet, but hopefully it'll be a program well worth your time. Until then, I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.